Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The whole time I'm in there, it's obvious that it's running super, super late. But the good thing is, she said, you can go and come back. So I go off, and what do? I do what I always do. I eat. That's what I do. I eat. And by the way, the Dairy Queen chili cheese dog is sex. The Dairy Queen chili cheese dog is a sexual experience for your boy. It's that good.
Oh, when I shut the door, it actually engaged to what a regular door would shut. We didn't shut it correct. I didn't shut it correctly. It's on me.
You didn't give it a good slam.
No, I didn't give it a good slam. You slam it when you think you're going to die, right?
You're worried it's a classic car. You don't want to dent it.
I didn't want to hurt it. I don't want to be the guy that messes something up.
Right. You thought you shut it, but you really didn't shut it.
Didn't shut it. This is on me. He looks at me. He's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. Like, what am I supposed to say? I'm like, I'm dying inside? No.
Right.
And he goes, well, would have had a big lawsuit for Mr. Charlie Burney if would have lost you.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Friday, happy, happy Friday, happy, 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 happy Friday, 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 Friday. There are a few things I've done correctly in my life, and one of the things that there is no doubt about is that I make good babies. I do. I make wonderful children.
What?
I do. I have three spectacular children, babies, and I love them all. And the greatest thing about my 60th birthday up in Maine is when my wife surprised me by flying in not just one, but both of my daughters.
A birthday present.
It was fantastic. One of them was is nice enough to join us today. My firstborn, ladies and gentlemen, the sweetest girl in the world, and a girl who is was the subject of the show because I think inadvertently I said Catherine's going to be in a movie, and I didn't mean that because I kind of misspoke. It was just something where, and then a lot of people said, "What's the movie? What's the movie?" I said, "I didn't mean she's going to be in a movie
away." You put it out there into the universe, and it's going to happen now.
Well, you know, it would be great. There she is. Catherine is on the show. Hi, hi, sweetie pie. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We are calling Catherine in New York City. New York City.
What part of New York City do you live in?
From New York.
Yeah. What? Where? Tell everybody where you are. Don't give an address, of course, but you're in Brooklyn now, right?
Yes, I am in Brooklyn. Well, I've been in Brooklyn for a year, but I just moved to a different part of Brooklyn in August 1st.
All right. And you, so I got excited, and then I realized that I wasn't sure what you wanted me to talk about or what you didn't want me to talk about. So
story
I think the best
life.
Way, the best way I could describe your journey is to have you on and you talk about it and what's going on, because it's been an active summer for you right now. So, do you want to start with the acting thing, or do you want to start with the restaurant thing? Where do you want to start?
The restaurant thing, just switching jobs and stuff. Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Yeah, like are you still working at that bar near Times Square?
Wow.
Is that where you're working?
Yeah. Well, I just switched over to a bar in Brooklyn like this week. So
I told you you can't keep track of it. You can't keep track of it. I swear, it is so hard to keep track of where she was. You know.
I hop. Yeah.
Yeah, you hop. So you're not at the Longitude place anymore?
It's Latitude, but you know.
Latitude. That, yes. See, that's it.
Maybe she moved to Longitude.
Wrong, so. Did you move to Latitude? No. It was Latitude. You're not there anymore?
No. Well, like I'm still working there this weekend, but it'll be her last
appearance.
But you know, that's just how New York goes. It's not like that crazy. You know, it's just,
okay. I know. I didn't say you were crazy. I just figured, I want to.
I didn't say you said I was crazy. I just said it's not that insane. People tend to go from one bar to the next. It's just for now that I'm living here, it just makes a lot more sense for me to work somewhere that's not an hour away. You know,
so, okay, work and live close to home.
So you are now going to be working at a joint in Brooklyn now, right?
Yes, I'm very excited. It's going to be a different experience than I've previously had.
Do you want to give them a plug, or can you talk about that yet?
Yeah, it's Fulton Hall. It's near Atlantic Barclays Center. So it's a really great bar for pre-show and post-show drinks, and then also a good sports bar. So it's going to be great for football season starting this Sunday.
Nice.
Next Sunday, I guess. So
all right. Perfect. All right. So, and that's good. And how far is it away from your digs?
So walking, it's about 30 minutes. So that's okay. Nice. And then by train, it's one stop. So it's like 11 minutes away, which I've never had a money job. We call it money jobs. If no one knows, as an artist, you have your money job because it's not what you want to do, but it's what you do that pays the bills for now.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. Starving artist.
The first money job I've had that's less than 30 minutes from my place. So that's really nice.
Very cool. So now to the acting part, where you have been, your journey has been
the most secretive part of my life.
Can you talk about the representation at all?
I'm not okay. It's exciting. I mean, I'll talk about it in general for sure.
Did they get the paperwork to you and everything? Is everything like locked in with that now? Everything's done.
Yeah, everything's moving along. It's good.
Okay, so I want you to tell me if I've got it right, because I want to explain to our listeners, because people care about you through the show.
Let's call it the Acme Talent Agency.
The Acme Talent Agency has you. The big thing, and correct me if I'm wrong about it, feel free to jump in if I'm wrong about any of it. The way it rolls in New York, whether it be with stage work, commercials, television projects, anything, if you want to be a working actor, the big deal is not, I always envisioned you go to New York, you knock on a door, you go to a casting agent, and or you go down to a theater and you walk in. It doesn't work like that, right? The big deal is to get into the big rooms, you need somebody to be representing you, right?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it all goes back to connections, right? I mean, that's like with any line of work, it's just who you know. So it's not necessarily, I would say, like, if you have representation or not, that's what's going to be what's going to make you. I mean, you still have to do a lot of the work on your own. You always have to be, you know, putting, you know, being your best employee, basically. But it definitely doesn't hurt to have someone on your side who knows these casting directors and who sees auditions that you don't get to see because they're more involved in the industry and they've been doing it for a long time.
So basically
just having anyone that you can on your team helps.
It's like a radio agent.
But, I mean, yes.
Yeah,
it's a radio. The only thing they do, they are in the network, and they figure
out
what's going on.
I'll give you the best example, Catherine. A radio show is about to maybe they're looking for a new home, for example. And the agent, because they have such a great relationship with these large radio clusters, they're like, hey, didn't you say that in a few months there was going to be San Diego mornings open? I might have the right show for you before you even post. It's that type of situation.
Yeah, it's that.
Yeah,
and it's going to open up with
exactly.
That.
Now, yeah.
And you're in, and I'm asking really for I talk to you all the time, but I'm asking for our listeners. You want to be like so many people in the business. You want to be a working actor. That's what you're struggling to do right now. You're getting training for it, and you're...
Yeah, I have the most amazing acting coach. I mean, he's incredible. He's helped me so much. Michael Lugio. So that's... he's been incredible at helping with that, and he always talks about it as, you know, even if you go into an audition and you don't book it, he's like, well, you that's not even the point of the audition. The point is to gain some fans in the room. So that's the most important thing. You know,
it's like, fascinating.
You didn't get it, but you made a fan. You know, you gained a fan. You got someone who...
Mike actually likes... Your father actually likes to do the opposite. He likes to lose a fan a day when he blocks them on Facebook.
It's true. And by the way, if you don't cast me, screw
you.
I never want to hear from me again. That's what I say when people don't cast me in something. By the way, it's very embarrassing, too, when your daughter gets an agent and you ask, would he like an old man of 60? Dad, don't do that. Don't do that now, Dad. Do they do radio guys? Anyway, so you've been doing the training and... So if someone was to say Catherine O'Mara as an actress, what is the where? I don't know how to phrase this question because it's really important to me to ask this as it's going out there to my listeners.
If she was going to be a type or a cat.
What is the type? Okay, what would type? Be Catherine? What would your type? What role would you think you would be perfect for?
Oh, gosh.
I know it's... yeah, I told you we were going to talk about your career, you know?
No, I know. I mean, it's just a hard... It's a hard question, because I feel like...
Okay, maybe it is a... How can I rephrase this?
Give her some options on shows.
No, I get what you're saying.
Like, characters on shows. Are you more like this, or are you more like this?
All right, Anna Nicole Smith, or... No, I'm sorry, no. let's see. I'm trying to think. I think of you as... Saoirse, who's the
Sasha Baron Cohen?
No, not Sasha Baron.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, yes, yeah, her.
All right,
from Brooklyn right. Mary Queen of Scots and
yeah,
Hannah.
There we go. There we go, Bobby Hannah.
Bones.
Yeah,
okay. You can do. Yeah. You know, you do anything, and you're looking for anything right now, right? I mean, that's you don't want to do, bad
anything.
Stuff.
No.
You don't want to do anything.
Something tasteful.
That's more L.A. Yeah. anyway. So, but would you go to L.A. if the if it was necessary?
Yes, 100%. Especially if it's in between the months of October and March.
So
are not my favorite.
Your acting coach. And by the way, this is fun for me to get you on the show and to really have our listeners find out about what's going on in your world. Your acting coach. Is he happy about the representation? Does he think it's a good thing?
I think he just is so supportive and just wants everything. He's like my number one person to go for anything. So like he is supportive, but also it's almost like in a fatherly way. He's like, he's supportive of it, but it wouldn't matter who it is. You know what I mean? He's just like, I don't know how to phrase this. He wants to make sure that everyone is fully supporting me, like not just like basically not getting an agent to get an agent. So he's skeptical, but like in a good way, I guess. I mean, like,
all right, that's an honest answer.
Knows, like, he knows who they are. He just like, it doesn't matter, because he's like, that's great. Like, let's make sure they get you jobs. You know what I mean? Like, let's make sure.
All right, I get it. Okay, know? And here's the cool thing.
He told me, he was like, just ask them, like, you know, who do they know? You know, he's always challenging you in a great way.
So I get it.
Even though he's supportive, he's like, it's like, you know, it's like tough love. It's
kind of like your father.
Well, yeah, he is, yeah, like, he's, yeah, like, yeah, and yeah. I haven't, and Catherine wants us
New
to meet
York
up there.
Club.
Yeah, he wants it because we're the same age, roughly.
Same age.
The acting coach. Stop it. Oscar, stop. you know what? Okay, that was in the back of my mind, and you had to... You gave me that look right now. You don't have anything going with the acting coach, right? You don't at all.
Oh, my
God. Right?
This is my real life. No, I don't. I know. I do not.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Right. Just well, you're the one. Question, Oscar was giving me a look.
Look,
Catherine,
I'm just saying, the way that
right.
you talk about this man, with all due respect, he seems like what you
revere
him.
She has a lot of respect
for him. And respect for him. And, you know, sometimes.
I want to get off this subject right now. I want to get a. He's had. And also, you've got classmates that are in your acting class that have gone on to be in television shows and commercials and all that good stuff.
Yes,
so that's important to point out. Now with the so now it's the next phase. It was, and by the way, I put one of your headshots up online. That
beautiful,
was just
by the way. Beautiful.
Spectacular.
Thank you.
And you're happy with where you are right now, right? You feel like you've put yourself in the right situation. Your eyes are wide open as far as the realities of it, and where would you say you are now on the journey? As far as the acting,
I would say
journey.
I am happy but not satisfied. If that makes sense,
I love it. I love that.
You want more.
I'm happy to be where I am, but like, you know, it's exactly. I want more. I mean, it's an ongoing journey up. So like, I'm happy, but I have to keep. You know, it's like a plateau, and now it's time to push to the next one, almost, I guess.
And all right, now we move on. So is that everything? Have we covered everything as far as...
I have a quick follow-up question. I'm sorry.
God.
This has nothing to do with older gentlemen. Okay. Catherine, can you walk... Mike and I have talked about this, like, rubes on off-air and on-air. We don't understand the casting process. Is it what we see on television? I know that you have to get the heads up on different roles and possible casting options and be invited. But when you walk into that casting session, is it similar to what is portrayed on television or in movies where there is a long, you know, a big room of people and a long line of people, and you go in and then you do your best and walk out?
I mean, I guess it depends what examples you've seen, but Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just one of those businesses that everything is different every single time. So sometimes it will be like that, where it's like a long hallway full of people sitting down who look exactly like you. And you're like, well, here we go. And you just kind of have to hope that you bring something to the table that no one else is bringing. I think that's like the most important thing. It's like, what secret do you have for this part that's going to make me stand out, you know, without forcing it? But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that whole sit in a room, wait, then walk into another room full of this whole staff of people who may or may not be giving a shit and paying attention to you, and that's just how it goes, you know. And then you do your work, and then you, like, you know, when you leave the room, you leave it there, you know. That's it. You did your best. You did what you could do.
Like, it's my tough girl. It's my tough girl. You're lost, you suckers. You pieces of junk. You're lost. That's it. Don't be playing with my girls, my little girl's heartstrings, you pricks. Anyway, that's it. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, hopefully
you
make some fans. That's the goal. So,
and you keep working and you keep growing.
I feel like it's like what Tyler described. You know, I mean, they're able to portray that type of environment very well, because that's, you know, our environment.
That's the business.
Television.
See how unflappable she is? She's completely unflappable. 10. It's like, not 10. Me. I'd be like going, you suck! I hate you! Would I be walking out of there? So let me move on to, so do we got everything with the acting? Are we going, did somebody just feed you a question?
Oh, no, somebody no, no. I'm just getting a
okay.
No. I'm just getting a no.
Okay, getting fine. A no. Oscar's doing 9 jobs
yeah,
at once.
Thank you.
All right, so Catherine, my next question would be, as far as the love life, how is your, is there any, I know you've dated some pretty well-known people with that, and you still dating that famous guy?
Oh my God.
I don't have to. You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer.
I'm career focused. So even if I am, it's not in a serious.
I'll shut up. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, people want these questions.
Okay, first of all, this is what people.
She's
come
career
for.
Focused, which is fine with Daddy. I'm fine if you get married at 40. Doesn't matter to me.
We've answered a couple questions here. That you're,
yes,
you're,
I do, you know.
You're built for this this business, Catherine, one, so congratulations. At a young age, you really understand the landscape of what is one of the hardest, if not the hardest business to break into. Two, you're not into older gentlemen, because apparently, you know, you cleared that up for us. And then...
I'm not ageist, you know. I don't discriminate.
I gotcha. What about who can you maybe share anything about this? This celebrity that you may or may not be friends with.
Oh, I so cannot.
Is he black,
all right,
white,
all right.
Tall, short, Hispanic, Latino? Is he tan?
Okay, I'll say that if I walked into a room with him, it wouldn't be a shock.
Oh.
Like it would be normal looking. Like it would be like, okay. Like it wouldn't be like, what?
Yeah. It's a big deal. Like, it's a big deal. But we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Your ex-boyfriend must be so jealous.
So, and everything else is going, you sound, as I say to you more often than not, because Catherine kind of, when I'm talking to Catherine, I can tell whether she's having a good day or having a bad day. But you've been, you seem to be happy right now. You seem, even with the struggle, you seem to be content and happy. And am I right with that? Hopefully.
Yes. I'm very happy. You know, I mean, the first year in New York when I first moved up, like right after graduation, was really rough. It was really hard. And I think part of it is meeting someone who's in D.C. So that made it even harder, because I, you know, was constantly going down there and like focused on that too much, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just learning how to live up here, because I think, you know, you move up here to be an actor or to, you know, to start your career. But you really first have to figure out how to live in New York. You know, it's such a monster of a city. So the first year I wasn't very happy, I think, because I was just like figuring out if this is what I want. I didn't know too many people up here. But then after I, you know, ended that relationship and also just got through my first year, then things just started to really change and I started to love New York. And now I feel like I have such a good community around me and a support system. And like, I feel like I really have a life here now that, like, yes, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, let me tell you. You know what? I'm so proud of you. You know, I don't care if you ever do anything. I just love the, you know, in your career. It doesn't matter to me at all. I think that I like the way you're living your life, and I like the moves you've made lately as far as, you know, getting yourself on track with everything. And, you know, the hopping around of the different jobs, it's the bar business.
It's money.
That's the way
it's
you do
money
it.
Job.
That's how you're doing this right now. And, you know, you're so young, yeah. You don't know what the future holds. But I just, I root for you so much because it would be, I know how happy it would make you. But I also think you've got your eyes wide open with it. And you seem to be enjoying the journey, which is the right way to approach it. And I hope I'm right
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. I try to. Yeah. Yes, I mean, you hear people talk about it all the time, especially, like, you know, this really amazing Broadway director told me one time in this session I was in with him, he was like, the best thing you all can do for yourself, because we were all around 18 to 22, he's like, the best thing you all can do for yourselves in your career is to not become successful until you're 30 years old. And I was like, I don't know, like, even though obviously I'd love to be, you know, doing what I want to do right now, I always try to think about that and like not take anything not like do anything not take anything for granted. I don't know if that makes sense. Just like,
yeah, you don't want to take it for granted.
It's
you don't want
to moment because people say it's like once you make it, then I mean, you know, you don't whatever make it means. I mean, you look back on the time that you were struggling with it or trying to make it and miss it almost. So I'm just trying to enjoy this part of it because I know that in the future, when things are a lot busier, you know, I'm going to look back on this time fondly.
But you're confident. I think you hear that in between. I read between the lines. And you've got a lot of confidence that you're going to keep chugging until you make a go out of it. And, you know, I think it's exciting. It's exciting. And, you know,
we're excited
I love
for
you.
You.
And our listeners.
You said at the very beginning, it's like you got to put it out there to, you know.
Into the universe, Mike.
Into the universe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So to anybody in our listening audience, this is my actor daughter. She is a beautiful, vibrant lady. She is 24 years old, and she is ready to take on the world. And she's doing great, and I'm proud of her. And I think, Catherine, the good things are coming. And I'd like to come up and see you, you know, around, you know, Christmas holidays up in New York.
Yes,
I think we're going to try to bring the little guy, bring your brother up there,
yes,
and we're going to all
really,
do
really do.
It'll
be
great. Listen, take care of yourself. Keep us posted. I know our listeners care about you. I care about you. And, you know, no dating. Anyway, just kidding. Thank you, Catherine. I love you.
Thanks, Catherine.
All right, I love you. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Call me.
That's my daughter.
Bye.
I'll call you.
Bye.
Oh, that's the Oscar. Oh, that's my firstborn right
so
there.
So sweet.
Isn't that
you should
great?
Be, you should, you, I could see... And I hope you're feeling this, and I hope the audience this conveyed to them. Look, we've seen Catherine grow up in front of our eyes, and we've heard her stories enough here on the program to understand that the path that she's taking, there's just like radio, just like broadcasting, just like everything else that's entertainment based. There is no playbook.
Right,
like you just have to grind it out.
Yeah, she's a happy girl. She's doing what she needs to do, and. Catherine, if you're listening to this, please, I need that agent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We're both interested in folk music, and there was a big folk music scene. We formed a group called the Tubadours.
Two T-W-O.
Badours.
Because there were two of us.
Yeah.
That was the reasoning behind the name.
Yeah.
I was drawn to the folk music as well, and I wound up down at the folk place and met these two guys, and I could play the guitar a little bit. I could sing kind of right in the middle there.
Not a bad-looking gent to boot.
No, that's true. That didn't hurt.
Didn't hurt. And Mr. Irving Steinblum came down, and he signed us to Folktown, which was the label to be on.
Terrific label.
Later on, we were kind of moved down the food chain a bit to the Folk Tone label, which was a subsidiary.
It was a decent label. They just didn't have the distribution.
Well, they just didn't have... Well, they didn't have any distribution.
No distribution at all.
And the covers were printed in two colors instead of four, which I noticed was a...
Yeah. And they had no hold. in the center of the record. So a lot
You'd have to provide
it yourself. The people complain that you'd get this vinyl, of course, in those days, and it's kind of up to you to kind of center it and make the actual...
It would teeter crazily on the little spindle until
the hole, and that was a whole... Well, of course, we had no control over that aspect of it, but...
But they were still good records. They were good product.
Yeah. If you punched a hole in them, you'd have a good time.
Yeah.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, the Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and enjoy. And for our long-timers, oh my God, do we love you! From Long Pond, Pennsylvania, to Winterset, Iowa, from Alexandria Bay, New York, to Bellevue, Washington, from Vallo, Germany, to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And send us your cities. The smaller, the better.
Mm.
I love these little obscure towns. Please, and if you happen to be overseas, send us where you're listening.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. Ahoy, mateys. Listen to these important words from Cornerstone. Right now, the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is at its lowest since November 2016. It will likely drop even lower as bond yields continue to fall. Concerns over a trade war... That means 8.2 million 30-year mortgage holders could likely qualify for a refi with the rate situation and save at least a chunk off their current interest rates. Plus, Cornerstone offers free rate float downs. So if rates get better, your rate gets better. Ta-da! That's right. All these key factors, the Fed rate drop in September, the potential of it, has rate levels we haven't seen in a long time. So call them at Cornerstone today because the time to act is now. Cornerstone is licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website, visit cornerstonefirst.com, or call them at 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. And I know, Oscar Santana, we have been waiting for a good chunk of the week for you to tell your story that you wanted to talk about because a lot going on in the world of Oscar Santana, and I'm
here.
Well,
I finally
and
get
course-
to talk now that Rob's gone, so... You know, word edgewise.
He's out of the way.
Yeah, he's out. By the way, I know I haven't been fantastic, and I'm not looking for any praise on this board, but I'm enjoying this seat. Let me tell you, I could throw Rob right over there, and I could run these controls.
What makes it now? Do you like the seat because you're controlling everything?
I feel like a star.
You do.
Like, I'm in the middle of it all, over there in the corner. Nobody puts baby in the corner. I'm sitting there by myself. Can't see the crew in the control room. I can tell if Maddie thinks something is funny or she hates it. Right. If Pony's going to commit suicide or not. Mac's in there. Intern Isabel's in there. She's like
Mac.
She loves the show.
Mac of the orange sweatshirt
Mac
is here
Attack.
Today.
Yeah, Mac Attack decided to show up.
Oh my God! Yeah. Hi, Mac. Hi. How you doing, everybody?
He's waving.
Well, you know, what was the... So you were talking... We had your big story this week.
Big story,
about,
big story.
Going up to this is, Kenny Bunkport. But
and I hate,
this is,
I hate that I even have to even talk about this right now, but I'd be remiss not to mention it, right? It's happening. Right. We're here. It's just the two of us, so I'm going to share the story. And it's not a bad thing. I don't hate that I want to tell that I have to tell a story. I'm just not used to talking this much on the show.
I understand.
I'll let you know. Right. So Podcast Village is in pre-production for another... episode of a podcast we're producing. And as you know, Mike, this area, like any other area, there are powerful people in this, you know, we are in what is considered the most powerful city in America.
Movers and shakers,
yes.
Oscar. Movers and shakers.
And I've been pleasantly surprised that when we do get a chance to work with these movers and shakers, like your Santana Mosses of the world, they are just nice and down to earth. They're really, and I think it all, the setting also allows for, if you're collaborating or working together, how people treat each other, right?
So at Podcast Village, you got your sports star, Santana Moss being an example of
yes.
that. You got your phenomenal like websites that have come in here.
Yes,
Daily
yes.
Beast comes
yeah,
to
yeah.
mind.
We've got
they do
civilrights.org.
Civil Rights.
Yes.
You got the George Herbert Walker Bush Library podcast that's done here. You've got, you know, Hey Phrase. That's another You got Angie Goff. She's doing podcast here. You got universities. Mm-hmm. You got businesses. You got Podcast Village is humming. You're getting ready to expand to another location downtown.
We'll be online in September.
How is that going? That is going swimmingly.
We are 90% there. If you follow us on social media, on Instagram at Podcast Village, you get a sneak peek. It's coming along, but as you
similar facility to what we have on Wisconsin Avenue.
I would say
Avenue.
It's similar. It's just a different style of set because people always want variety.
All right.
So
very cool.
All right. And more of a television set, if I'm being accurate.
All right.
Okay. And for me, it's always a pleasure because I get to do what I love in the morning and then do what I love in the afternoon.
Right.
And I would say, was it Tuesday? Tuesday. We're done with the show this past Tuesday. And I know that I have to go out to Middleburg, Virginia, which is south of Washington, D.C. proper.
West.
West? Who knows? I'm driving.
West of Washington,
That's all I know.
D.C.
West. Thank you. You know,
well, I know Middleburg because
you live there.
No, I did not live in Middleburg. I lived in Haymarket, Virginia, for a time.
Is that south or is that still west?
That's west.
Okay.
You're northwest.
Northwest.
Instead of south, as you so accurately said.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It amazes me that you've accomplished so much in your career with all these plates spinning
GPS.
In the air and then you don't know basic geography.
I just follow the ways.
Middleburg, when I spoke to you about it earlier in the week, Middleburg is where the former Redskins owner Jack Ken Cook lives.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of moneyed people live out there. It's horse farms. It's bucolic. It's this beautiful countryside. And it's definitely a lot of Muffies and Kips out there. There's old money in Middleburg.
Didn't know.
And
it's a new world for me.
Old money in Middleburg. If you go out like on a weekend in Middleburg and you're hanging out at some of the restaurants there, you might get a look at the one percenters that come rolling in there. And you have a lot of it's horse country. It's horse farms. It's the gentry
that
live out in Middleburg. So when you say you're going, when you told me, because you were oblivious to it, to be perfectly honest with you, that you knew this guy that you were doing a podcast with.
One of our
clients,
yes.
Was one of your clients. Was a guy that came from some moolah, but you had no idea the connection of Middleburg. You're going out to the, that's the money.
It's gorgeous. And really we've done this in the past, Mike, you remember from radio days, it's a site check because we will be doing a production and this specific episode will be filmed and recorded within one of his cars in his car collection because it has to do with the subject matter of the book that we are building a brand extension for the podcast. It's a podcast, but this one episode is being filmed and recorded inside his car.
What did you just say? Is there a book involved in this?
Yes. There's a book.
He wrote a book?
Yeah, he wrote a book. He's an author.
So, he wrote a book, what, about cars?
No, it's a book that is set in World War II. It's
fiction?
It's fiction that's rooted in historical fact. This has to
a
do
novel.
A novel, yes. This has to do with the machine that is known.
It's funny getting doing the interview with you because I feel like I'm an investigative journalist because I'm getting because I had no idea. So you're going out. So he's a novelist that you're going out to.
Yes.
All right. And is he well known, this novelist?
This is his first book.
Okay, I get it. So he's somebody who's been successful in life, and now he's turned, so he's smart enough where he can put a novel
100%. And I jump in the old Volvo, and we have a team member from the PR company that's working with this team from New York. They jump in. We drive down to Middleburg. We arrive. It's a beautiful setting. Like you said, it's just gorgeous out there. It's just beautiful.
Right.
And the car that we will be setting this interview up in is a classic Porsche from 1964. And just beautiful, mint condition, gorgeous.
So you're kind of doing a PR piece for this guy. You're out there shooting it. You're filming it. Right?
Yeah. But what we're doing Tuesday proper is a site check to say, okay, now I know what the car looks like. What equipment are we going to bring out when we actually do the full production?
Okay,
so it's,
I get it.
And with a site check, Mike, as we've done in the past, you have to do a run through. what road are we going to drive while we're doing this interview?
You're going to be shooting the interview in the car while in the car is moving?
In the car, yes.
All right, I get it.
And
that's a lot of cable.
Get the XLRs out.
Right, exactly.
So what I did not expect, and I should have probably known, is that the best way to drive and actually do this pre-production side is to actually ride the road you're going to ride in the vehicle you will be recording in. Mm-hmm. So we jump in this 1963, just classic, I imagine over six figure automobile.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you drive up the driveway, is it that type of drive? Is it like James Bond where you drive up to like a castle type place, or is it a modest home?
It's understated.
Understated modesty? Okay.
Yes.
But you know that even
well,
though
you have
this
to go through a gate and there's security, yeah, so
there you go. Okay,
put that
it.
Together.
All right. So I interrupted.
It's okay. So we get in the car, and the gentleman, and I'll keep his identity, I guess,
that's fine.
Under wraps at the moment.
A lot of that going on today on the show between my daughter dating somebody and that. Yeah. I understand people don't. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I haven't asked him. I'm just telling you. So
I understand.
But I think it's important because you almost lost me. As this author, he says, okay, what do you want to do in the vehicle? I said, well, I want you to drive how you usually drive, because as we're recording this, we want to make sure that we have the actual route set up that we're going to drive. Right. And he goes, well, as you know, he's a former race car driver. So he says,
he's a race car driver too?
In a previous
you
life.
You too? You got a boner. All right. So he's a former race car driver.
He goes, do you trust me? I said, yeah, I trust you. So he starts driving the way you would drive.
And he
if
wants
you're a race car driver.
So you said that to him, being like the junior producer, saying, you drive the way you drive, and we're gonna talk to you while you're driving when we ultimately
record. Because we're testing the sound, and we're making sure that the Steadicam actually holds up, and you have to go for account for every option there.
I get it.
So he starts driving. I should hit pause there and say, when I closed the door to the Porsche, it didn't shut all the way, but I figured it was like a classic car, and he reached over and shut and goes, oh, it'll hold. So what I thought the door that I'm riding, because I'm the passenger in it with the seatbelt on, I thought the door completely shut. But again, it's a car from 1963. Right. It looks like a collector's item. Maybe they don't shut the way that a modern day Volvo shuts.
Do you have any equipment in the car at this point?
Or there are LED lights. There are everything has been set up.
So you put everything in the car to test?
Yes.
So you're testing all the. So it's you in the car. It's this former race car driver and people from the production
it's just
company.
Us too.
It's just, always just, you too. It's just, always just, you yeah. too. All right. We have to take a break when we come back. And you're about to go on the ride with the race car driver?
I'm about to get the ride of my life.
Oh, so you. Very exciting. I can't wait to hear about it. The Adventures of Oscar Santana, flying around the world, hobnobbing with presidents. My God, it continues. We will take a break, come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Outlaws. This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton, and I love you. There are a few things in life that I require. Peace, joy, and of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify. No matter where I am, in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah, or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and you want some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
Thank you, Wayne. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about changing habits and feeling better about yourself in every way. That's why I love Noom. Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps you develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom knows you're human. No food is good, bad, off limits. If you go off track, There's no shaming, just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. And thanks to your goal specialist and the Noom community, you're never alone. My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. It literally has everything at a glance. Food tracking made easy. You're gonna love it. Oscar loves Noom. Carla's never looked better. You don't have to change that much. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS, the last weight loss program you'll ever need. We're talking to Oscar Santana, who drives out into the countryside, to Dr. Evil's mansion, who used to be a race car driver and now lives in a secret. No, you're about to get in a classic. Do you know the year of the Porsche?
1963.
Oh, a 63 yes. Porsche. Very, very, very cool. And in good
shape,
cherry. I take it?
It is. Really? Been restored.
Except for the door.
Well, again, I don't know about the door because I don't know enough about these vehicles. And I'm still learning.
Shutting, that's not cherry necessarily. Well, you know, I mean.
So I'm more concerned with is the seal of the door going to allow ambient or outside noise in while we're driving?
Okay.
So when I close the door and it doesn't like completely shut, I say to myself, well, let's see how much, if this is the way this door is, let's see how much sound is going to come in during the production.
Okay.
So that's really, I'm not concerned of like, is it going to shut or
your
close
business as usual? You're just trying to get the audio. Yeah. You got headphones on while you're
headphones
doing this?
On. Okay. We're moving. Right. We're running tape. We're running audio so we can go back to the lab here and figure out what's going on. So mm-hmm. He is like just gracious and nice. And he's like, he's telling me more about the vehicle.
Did he ask you if you wanted a lobster roll?
No lobster roll.
I'm sorry.
Different okay. world. He said, are you ready? Like this, do you want me to drive how you should drive this road? I said, absolutely. We want to hear if the engine noise comes into the cabin, how much engine noise comes through.
That can enhance the sound. Yes. If he's got the engine.
So, he hits it, and by he hits it, he like starts driving. Like I imagine he was trained to drive and he's driven on that road many a times. And it's fun. It is fun. It is like you go fast. It's fun. You're with a professional. You're like, you can tell right away when someone knows how to drive a car. We've all been in a car with someone that knows how to drive a car. Really.
And the roads out there, I've driven through Middleburg. I know the roads out there. They are, you know, hilly.
Oh,
there are lots of corners.
Yes.
They're rural roads, country roads.
Country roads.
Through farms.
Yes.
That's what it is out
there. By
the
way, great infrastructure. Everything's paved and nice. It's nice.
Yeah. They got all the money out there. You know, I mean,
I'm learning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Can't fix a pothole in Northwest, but they got all smooth roads in Middleburg.
Right. Exactly. It's where the drones live. That's where all the potholes are. But the beautiful country roads and not a lot of traffic out there. And by the way, you know, a lot of people commute from that. That area
just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Yeah, so he hits it and I'm like, all right. So, and I'm having fun. And I'm also, you get in the zone, and Mike, you know this, it's kind of this pre-production when we're even doing live shows where you're sitting there, you're like, I just want to make sure I'm accounting for every variable that can come our
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Like, for example, at a live show, we've had examples of people accounting for variables and people that didn't account for variables.
Yeah.
Like having a beautiful, expensive, animated feature to start a live show, and your pothead guy that's running it for you doesn't realize that the audio's not on and is standing there like a deer that's about to be shot in headlights.
That Sorry. Did happen. So, yes, you could say that.
That's right. That was the end. That was the end.
So, roughly 20 minutes into production, I'm like, this is going to work. This car is going to work. Because there was concern that there was going to be so much ambient noise interfering.
That it would not be hard to do the interview.
You just couldn't do it. You
now,
can't account
is this going to be – how much of this presentation or podcast or whatever is going to be in this car? Almost all of it or
– I think – well, I'll tell you now, all of it can be – we had a post-production meeting yesterday. I think all of it can be done in the car.
Is he going to be doing the talking or is he going to be interviewed?
He'll be interviewed.
Yes. Are you doing the interview?
Is TBD. TBD.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
So this
Very
is going to be, but the, I guess the technical part is now covered. Mm-hmm. Now.
Okay. You know who should do the interview? Mac. Mac's here today. Mm-hmm. He's got time.
Do you want to come down?
No.
Or come up at this point?
No.
All right.
Absolutely. There's your geography. It would be coming up. I'll be coming up, flying to D.C., yes. And then I'll head due south to Middleburg. No, it's too. West.
All right. West to Malahead.
So it's a nice car. You're realizing this is going to be doable. Yeah. Success.
And he can drive the car. He knows. Yeah. Like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. And then I see a sign that says 15 miles per hour and something you see probably at Spencer Gifts when it's like the sign that says 15 miles an hour, but then it's like a right angled turn where you generally see, this is when I'm driving the Volvo, I slow down, almost stop to make that turn.
So the 15 mile an hour speed sign is indicating you've got a hairpin turn.
Yeah, because it was the white 50-mile-an-hour sign, and then a big yellow hairpin turn coming up.
And you're on the passenger side.
I'm in the passenger side.
Okay, all right, I got it. So he's going to take it. Hmm. So it's left turn 15 miles per hour.
Yes.
All right,
got it. And I was like, oh, well, he's not slowing down. We're getting closer to this turn.
Mm-hmm.
Cars low to the ground. I know enough about cars that maybe the G-force and the actual car weight will keep this puppy on the ground.
Rock walls like they have out there? There are
rock walls on the road, but this particular turn has like a ravine to the right of it. Like a big, just okay. Don't know what's happening.
All right. So he's not
see,
down.
Could not see the bottom of
I got it.
And he starts taking the turn. I'm like, this... The car's going to... He knows what he's doing. He's driven this... He lives in this area.
Hey, Porsche, if you're going to take a sharp turn at speed... Let's
take it. Take it!
Yeah, awesome. Good stuff.
Blood's pumping. Adrenaline. We hit the turn. My passenger side door. The G's were so strong.
Mm-hmm.
The door swings open while we're taking the effing turn.
What would you estimate the speed is?
I saw, because I'm a rube and I want to know what type of terror I'm in. He's taking it at 55 miles per hour because I looked over to the left
on a 15 mile an hour corner.
On a 15er, right? Which I'm sure if you're a race car driver, you can handle that. And he did.
Well, and the car's handling it. He did. It's just the door is open.
The door opens. The door opens.
Do you have anything to hold on to? Do you grab him?
Well, that would have been a nice touch. No, I, because these are also this old, not the leather we have now with these bucket seats. This is a classic port. They didn't have bucket seats
kind of like
time.
A bench seat.
Yes,
right?
Almost a bench seat. So I start sliding.
Are you secured in the car? Do you have a seatbelt?
There's
on?
No. I got the old regular old timey seatbelt. start sliding.
At least you have a seat
towards this open door. Where, because there also is G-force, like I don't have enough muscle mass to fight this. I'm not a fighter pilot, right? So I'm sliding out.
Right.
Towards the door. I think, and again, your life doesn't flash before your eyes. And it almost like is a reflex act. What I reached for, Mike, was not him, or I don't think there's even a bar on the side. There isn't actually.
Probably not with an old car like that.
I reach with two hands for the door. To close the door.
You're brave, Oscar. You're very, very
brave. No, I'm not brave. I am just lucky. That should have been it. Shannon would have gotten a hot call, and it would have been, hey, guys, the Rob and Mike show, enjoy, and Big O and Dread.
Did he, the driver, Dukes and Dread. Dr. Novelist, did he, the wealthy race car driver, did he know what was going on? Did he stop or slow
this
down?
This is when you know somebody has been down this road and danger is, you know, something that's second nature. He goes, that does shut like all the way. Because when I shut the door, it actually engaged to what a regular door would shut. We didn't shut it correct. I didn't shut it correct. It's on me.
You didn't give it a good slam.
No, I didn't give it a good slam. You slam it when you think you're going to die, right?
You're worried it's a classic car. You don't want to dent it.
I didn't
want to
hurt it. I don't want to be the guy that messes something up.
Right. You thought you shut it, but you really didn't shut it.
Didn't shut it. This is on me. He looks at me. He's like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. Like, what am I supposed to say? I'm like, I'm dying inside? No.
Right.
And he goes, well, would have had a big lawsuit from Mr. Charlie Burney. If I would have lost you.
Did you go back to the house and get the poop out of your pants at that particular
he
point?
He literally said, we've got two options. Take another lap or we'll get you back to the farm. And and I said, and I said, because look, again, there's this dynamic with a manly man.
It's the struggle with you.
It's also, you've been here before, a manly man. Yeah, man.
Well, let's take it a little faster. Can't you do a little faster there, dude?
Huh? We've all been in that. We've all been there before, right?
How about I run outside the car while you're driving it? I'll just try to keep up. There you go.
I was like, hey, why don't we get to the gate of the farm and then I get out and you take another lap without me and I'll take some externals. Yeah, maybe that would have been nice. Like, just see you drive
you
by,
didn't
right?
Do that?
That's what I was about to do. But your adrenaline's pumping, you just almost lost your life, and you want this man to respect you on another level. Because you'll be working with him, but also like you want to be like, okay, man, I'm over that.
I get it.
I say, let's just take another lap. Like, okay. It can't get any worse. The door's shut and locked. Good to
Uneventful.
Go.
Uneventful?
Uneventful, but good. What I love about the way that he responded is he's like, all right, man, we're going to take another lap, but faster. And we rolled around what was, ooh, I would say, half a mile. And when I go back to when someone knows how to drive a car,
sure,
which I do not.
Was it fun now that you knew how to, now that you shut the door properly,
fun.
You rube?
Absolutely fun. Brush with death. Definitely something that I always remember the rest of my life.
Well, it's spectacular. It's the adventures of Oscar again, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm down here with a bunch of blue-haired people behaving badly, and you're out there risking your life and going on speedboats. It's an exciting life. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills. I'm glad you survived,
Thank
Oscar.
You. That's, we'll all, right that's all I was looking for.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Fruitcake time. It's back again, folks. TMOS Fruitcake Futures 2019. Your once in a year chance. Once in a year? You mean once a year?
Once a year, dipshit.
Your once-a-year chance to snag a signature Rob Spiewak fruitcake. That's right. He signs them. Get ready to place your order for the taste of the holidays. They even taste better than you remember them. Two big ways to purchase and support TMOS, including deluxe packaging and an exclusive new collectible. And more. TMOS Fruitcake Futures. The holidays start right now. Put it in my mouth.
I don't know what that last part was about. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. When was the last time you really slept great? If it's been a while, you probably need a new mattress. Are you getting quality sleep you deserve? May I recommend my bed, the Sleep Number bed, right now at Sleep Number stores? It's the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale, and queen mattresses start at only $8.99. Do you wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side so it's just right for both of you. Plus, the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts so you effortlessly control your sleep all night long. Will you love it? Just ask J.D. Power. Sleep Number's been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting, 85. Carla, 65. We love it. Come in during the biggest sale of the year, and for a limited time, save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And when you go, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you, ladies and gentlemen. A couple of things this week that,
yes,
I did. One for a friend and one for me. Probably don't have time to share it all, but I'll give you the highlights,
please.
Okay? The first thing, I take a buddy of mine down to get a colonoscopy because I'm a good friend. That's what I do. That's what good friends do.
Got to be a close friend.
If there's not a wife around, you step up. And, you know, when you have this process done, when they shove that giant tube up your butt, you can't drive because they put you under. That's the drill. So I get there and you think, hey, August in Florida.
Yes.
Snowbirds back home. Not a lot of people. No, there are 50,000 blue-haired, whining old people in this lobby. And by the way, they don't just do colonoscopies. They do outpatient surgeries of any kind. So it's a surgical center. Mm-hmm. And this little blurb right here is entitled, How Not to Behave When You're in a Place with a Bunch of Old People Who May or May Not Be Having Medical Procedures That Are... It's an outpatient
invasive?
Center, so it's not a hospital,
okay.
So it's probably not that big a deal. Minor surgeries and a colonoscopy. And I'm in there. there, and the whole time I'm in there, it's obvious that it's running super, super late. But the good thing is, she said, you can go and come back. So I go off, and what do? I do what I always do. I eat. That's what I do. I eat. And by the way, the Dairy Queen chili cheese dog is sex. The Dairy Queen chili cheese dog is a sexual experience for your boy. It's that good. It's fantastic.
Why,
so I go out.
Why of all things? Do you understand the juxtaposition of you going to a colon blow center, dropping off a friend, and being like, let's get a chili cheese dog.
I want to put it in. I want to put the food stuff that's in my intestinal tract that is the worst thing I can put in it. So I'm like, oh, you're getting a colonoscopy. I've already had mine. I'm going to put a chili cheese dog in there from Dairy Queen. So I go up and I come back. When the second time I come back, I said, all right, you know, screw it. Probably be about an hour, but I'll just chill. I'll hop on my phone. I'll check messages and I'll just wait. And then I hear the ladies, these two ladies that are talking. And I don't know exactly what they were saying because I tune it out. Mm. But the sound of it sounded something like this. And it's loud. It's the loudest in the room. They're talking. They don't have any regard for anybody that might want, you know, if they're waiting for their husband or wife to get their shoulder surgery or whatever, and they're... So, flash forward, this old cow decides that she hasn't been called yet, and like everybody in that joint, she's waiting, but she doesn't want to because she's old and entitled and wants to treat people like crap because she's bitter and old and nasty and rotten and terrible. And I'm watching this, and I'm saying to myself... When I get to that age, when I get a little longer in the tooth, which, by the way, I checked my watch, I'm about a half an hour away from it, okay? So I don't want to be that guy. I have this to bitch. I can do my bitching right here.
Yes.
But when I'm out there and you're dealing with 50 other people that are waiting, you don't. And she says, well, I've been waiting, and I'm not ever coming back again. I'm not ever coming back. And she's saying that to the receptionist, who doesn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong person.
And she finally gets back and says, he's done this to me before, and I'm not going to come back. And the nurse says to her very clearly, well, of course, that's your prerogative if you choose, which is the nurse's way, way of saying F you if she wants to. So the moral of the story is just behave yourself.
Be patient.
Behave yourself. Literally. And be patient. And be a nice person, all right? So even when I'm now in a situation where I find myself getting frustrated, I am a nice person. We flash forward to yesterday when I went down to get what I consider a swing analysis. They have it on sale. They have it on sale where they put you on all this equipment and they analyze your swing at the golf store. And although I'm frustrated, I was very nice. But it turns out that I go in, they put me on all this stuff, and I'm supposed to get it analyzed, and then I get a little lesson.
Okay.
All right. Well, let me tell you what. So 10% of this was getting the lesson. About 25% of it was getting the analysis of what the computer told him.
Okay.
And the data rest came of back. The time was pretty much hawking their business model to extract as much cash out of my wallet as is humanly possible.
So 65% of the time is a sales pitch?
It was like, here's the plan we have for you, and it's all about the plan. It's the plan. What I wanted was I want to get put on a monitor, see what I'm doing, get it videotaped, and have a little analysis.
You want the edge?
And I was nice to this guy, okay? But he knew. He knew at the end. I said, would you just tell me what it's going to cost? Yeah. He said, I'll get to that. I said, no.
I'll get to that.
Get to that doesn't work. No, I wanted to know what was really going on. And it was on and on.
Like you're buying a car.
And about the, you know, one side of this little whiteboard is swing things of what we want to do. And the other side is how many packages I'm going to buy with that. And it's just like the business model. And finally, I start talking about the business model. I said, I have to explain. I made the guy laugh.
You're
I made
doing the guy laugh. This all wrong right now.
I said, listen, I don't want to criticize your business model, but I have to tell you about the modern elderly golfer. We're narcissistic dicks. This is wasting time. time, valuable time, where we want to be talking about us, not you making money. We want to now, and if you've done it, and if you present it a little bit better, we're just going to go, you will be, I guarantee you, I'll get you back. He didn't do that. It was more like, if you do this part, and this will work on.
Tedious.
Don't tell me all that. Tedious. I want you to tell me how I'm swinging badly, and that's it. And then would you like to come back? We can work on a few more things. That's all you needed to say. Mm-hmm. That's what you needed to say. We can work on a few more things. So I know he was disappointed. I said, you look like you're disappointed. He's like, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're disappointed. I'm not coming back. I'm not ever coming back, ever.
Well, now
ever.
It's awkward. Now it's awkward.
Well, this was the very end where I said that. But then his manager is out at the front desk where I'm checking out. His manager, who's like a chicken hawk, just sitting there hovering on a on a wire of a,
hello, I'm Mr. Burns. How much did you extract from his wallet? How did that work?
And I look, because it's all balance. And I look, and the manager doesn't see the numbers yet. I said, this is exactly what I said. I lie like a dog.
Okay.
For the manager's benefit, not for this guy. Because I like the kid that was giving me the lesson. And I looked at him, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to check with my wife for what package she wants me to buy. And I'm going to tell this guy, this is the best guy you've got. He was fantastic. Aww. And then I ran out of the place, never to come back again. Ever in my life, because it's all about money. Thank you very much. That's it. That's my story. Taylor, two stories.
I like that you told the kid or the young man.
This is ridiculous. It's all you're talking about is money. Like, all you're talking about is my package, okay? And then, not my package, but yeah. But the manager didn't know that. You know, he thinks I'm calling back today, which I won't be. Anyway, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Is ringing. The Yak Shack line is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So call up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. The weekend is here, and as per usual, you've got nothing to do, loser. Wait, that's a lie. You could be listening to the TMOS bonus show. It's an unscripted, unrestricted, no-holds-barred 6th episode of TMOS that you can get every weekend with just a few simple keystrokes and or mouse clicks. Just click the banner on our website, and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It is and shall always be your passport to the assport.
Nice.
Copyright 2019. So please buy the TMOS bonus show. Do it or sadly, we can't be friends anymore. I'm sorry. That's true. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by Wild World of Largo, Maryland. Take some time before summer gets away and have a wild time at Wild World. He got me. That's funny. He saved the best for last. Prince George's County's premier theme park since 1974. Don't miss the thrilling Wild One, a second-hand roller coaster from 1917. Wild fun at Wild World. Remember, it was founded by Ross Perot, in parentheses, true. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. Oh, that's not what I wanted. I wanted this.
News.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. A secondhand roller coaster. I love it. The Rock was the highest paid actor in the world. Over the past year, he raked in an estimated $89.4 million. That's a lot of coin, but it's down from last year when he made $124 million and came in second to George Clooney. Here's this year's top 10. I'll give you the top 5. Jackie Chan, still getting it done.
Man.
$58 million, mostly from the Chinese box office and his endorsements in China.
Ooh,
number 4, Bollywood actor Akshay Kumar, $65 million. Seeing a trend here?
Yeah, international.
Number 3, Robert Downey Jr., $66 million. Chris Hemsworth, $76.4 million. Ooh. And The Rock, who, your boy, back in the day.
You called it.
Top box office man, $89.4 million. I was mocked. I was mocked, and I'm right, and there you have it, Oscar.
I remember Dwayne Johnson, the wrestler, The Rock.
Yeah. What are you, high, Mike? Are you high? I tell you, he's got all the tools. In Major League Baseball, at least two players this year were suspended for performance-enhancing drugs, and they claim the banned substances found in their urine came from over-the-counter sexual enhancement pills, like the kind you find on a gas station counter. Mm. A source says the use of these pills is prevalent among the players. God, well, like really?
Horny goat weed?
At that age, you gotta, what are they trying to do? Cheerleading squad? What's going on here?
Maybe it's for that edge.
Wow. Well, the league is taking it so seriously that they issued a memo warning players to avoid them. The league says the pills are unregulated and often contain, quote, prohibited and unsafe ingredients. The memo adds that players who have some kind of, you know, down there issue should, quote, speak to a licensed physician about the various prescription medications, e.g. Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, available to treat those conditions. So there you are, ball players.
Do you
be
think
careful.
The horny goat weed, that actually works?
Well, I mean, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that the prescription stuff
of course,
works.
Yeah.
Oh, check that. A friend of mine knows that. Wink, 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 wink. Hey, you know, 21-year age difference. Just after this season's Dancing with the Stars, after they announced the cast, host Tom Bergeron let it be known that he was not cool with the casting of former White House press secretary Sean Spicer.
Mm.
And by the way, we were supposed to, I think on Political Persuasions, one of these days, we're supposed to get Sean Spicer on, but I think that ship has sailed. I'd love to yell at him. Tom said he had lunch with the show's new producer a while back and said that he hoped the show would remain a joyful respite from, quote, divisive bookings from any political party affiliations. He thought they were in agreement, but then the show cast Sean, so he said, quote, we can agree to disagree as we do now, but ultimately it's their call. I'm Tom Bergeron, and now here's Sean.
That was a weird casting.
He didn't mention Sean by name, but he's the only politically charged contestant this season. Tom also said he won't comment any further on Dancing with the Stars, Tom Bergeron. Good for you. Stand up for yourself.
Pipe
there,
up.
Tom Bergeron. And, you know, put some balance on that show. So, you know, I don't know who you're going to get, like Malika Obama or something like that. You know, maybe you'll get somebody, you know.
The Spicer situation... he's not. I don't think he's considered radioactive. I don't think he's just. He's not relevant as he used to.
It's gone, right?
Yeah.
No, it kind of doesn't matter. If you won the lotto tonight, what is the first thing you'd buy? Someone talked to 55 millionaires about their spending habits, and here are the top five things they splurge on. This is real official millionaires. Travel is number one. 60% mentioned it. That was almost twice as many mentions as anything else. Travel is the big deal. Number two, food. I've always said that if I was back in a financial zip code where I had more money, I wouldn't mind going to fine dining places because it was.
You've always said that.
Yeah, right now it's Iguana Mia for the rest of my life. Thank you. Yeah, eating out, cooking at home. Number three, just like your guy out there in Middleburg, cars.
Cars make sense.
Only 15% said they splurge on cars. Some claim they're fairly frugal, and if they buy a luxury car, they keep it for a while. A few even said they buy used cars.
Yeah.
So I read an article one time, Oscar, that talked about men with $10 million or more, and most of these guys that have that kind of fortune, you'd never know that they were wealthy.
No, they're secret millionaire next door.
Right, yeah. Not me. When I got a big contract in radio, you know.
You
I
got married.
Down. Where's that Rodney horn that you have?
Mike.
Hey, look what I'm driving, Judge. Yeah, isn't this great? Here's number four. This is number four, and this one was weird to me.
Yes.
But when you read about Johnny Depp, it makes sense. Wine. They spend a lot on drinking or collecting wine. Few of them were into it, 9%, but it's still enough of a number where it made the list.
It's such rarefied air. When somebody really knows about wine or brings their own bottle to a restaurant, I always think, I'm like, oh, man, are they just saving money or do they just Like, do they really know their wines?
They know their wine probably are bringing in a good... No, but if there's a bottle, if there's a cork fee or something like that, a corking fee. Clothes is number five. 7% said they spend a lot updating their wardrobe. So apparently it's not a huge priority for most millionaires. Not clear how many of them were men and how many were women. They didn't say in this survey. I don't need to worry about it. I got a Walmart right next door. There you go. I'd like to thank the Russell Athletic Company. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. A team of scientists in Germany just created a new blood test that is incredibly accurate. This is scary. At predicting when someone's going to die. Oh. The test analyzes a person's blood, looks for risk signs, and predicts whether the person is going to die in the next 5 to 10 years. And it's 80% accurate.
How do they know that?
It tells you if you've got less than a decade left, and it's probably right. And the team isn't done. Quote, we see this as a foundation. We do not see this test as an endpoint. I don't know what that sounds
like.
German.
Old blood? This sounds like Theranos. I'm not falling
means
for
one
this.
Day, maybe sooner than we think, there could be a blood test that will be able to tell you how much longer you have to live. Would you want to know? That's the question. So I'm not sure with that. I had mine checked and called the company. They said last week. I died last week. And now a little something, something.
You're overdue, sir.
Someone in Southern California called the cops on Tuesday about a suspicious guy fixing a flat tire on the side of the road about halfway between San Diego and L.A. So what could possibly be suspicious about that? It turned out the guy was trying to fix two flat tires on his SUV by patching them with Band-Aids.
Mm.
When cops got there, the 26-year-old driver had spilled an entire first aid kit out on the ground, and he was trying to plug a large hole in the side of one tire by filling it with gauze and then covering it with Band-Aids. Well, it turned out he was on drugs. There you go. And he didn't have any ID in his duct tape wallet or his pants made out of paper towels. Thank you very much. We have to take a break. We will come back with the final audio vault of the week right here. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
This is Mike O'Mara. When it became obvious that the United States was facing a different time, I, like many Americans, felt like I needed an outlet for my frustration, a place where I could express myself openly without the burden of censorship for a divided audience. I also knew I needed someone to work with who would provide me with insights and the knowledge of a seasoned political journalist, an individual with an insider's grasp of the political world we live in. Well, the outlet is called Political Persuasions, and the seasoned insider is Mr. Chris Freitz. We host a weekly discussion of all things political that is lively, funny, informative, and sometimes controversial. Join us every week at politicalpersuasions.com and get a different perspective on a moment in history unlike any other.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to apologize for yelling so much at Chris Freitz this week on the show. I screamed my head off at him. And sorry about that.
Award-winning Chris Freitz.
Yes, award-winning Chris Freitz. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by our Fruitcake Futures. Sadly, some folks don't know the details, the ins and outs of fruitcake. In an attempt to explain, I bring you the Mike O'Mara Show fruitcake ingredient of the day. Hope he doesn't continue this into next week. Today, the most important ingredient of all, love. I know he wanted me to read it like that.
Love.
100% full disclosure, our actual fruitcake recipe was researched and perfected by Rob and his mom for over 10 years. Rob personally oversees every fruitcake baked in the TMOS kitchens. We could have hired a company to bake them for us, but we knew to control the quality, Rob had to be there.
Mm.
He's writing about himself. Rob's a good guy, isn't he?
He's best.
Fantastic. Otherwise, we wouldn't put our name on it. Every bite you take will be perfect. And will delight your taste buds because Rob wouldn't have it any other way. TMOS fruitcakes, buy now and savor later. They taste even better than you remember them. Go to our website and buy as many as you like. MikeOmaraShow.com. Click the banner, plus a chance at a golden ticket to D.C. and a platinum ticket to Florida. And every purchase supports TMOS, Gary Krimble. Fantastic. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Friday, August 23rd, 2019. You ready?
Yes.
God, I've been talking a lot. Anyway, this is, you know, would you like to say happy birthday? I think this week, Kristen Wiig celebrated happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Please like do. Please.
Yes. You know, I've softened my position on Kristen Wiig over the years. So, yeah, I thought this was a funny little clip from Kristen Wiig. Happy birthday.
I just feel like I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party with the best of them. And I'm gonna go down to the river.
It's where she's going to party. This is this. I like Kristen Wiig, and congratulations. This next one defies any explanation. I'm just going to play this for you on the audio vault. Listen to this lady. You want to hear a lady?
Please.
Listen to this lady.
Wow, look at this thing. This is crazy. Pulled it in. It felt extra heavy this time, so I'm like, okay.
You want to know what this is about? Have you guessed it? This is a woman who pulls in a fish with two mouths. Huh? She goes fishing, and she throws the line over, and she catches a fish with two mouths.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and a funny voice to follow.
Wow, look at this thing. This is crazy. Pulled it in. It felt extra heavy this time, so I'm like, okay, this is a good one. Got it in and seen the two mouths on it.
And I've had messages from all over the world, like people asking about this fish, and it seems like everybody's got an opinion on what is the cause of this fish having two mouths. The president, toxic waste, The Simpsons was referenced several times.
The Simpsons.
Well, it seems, hello. It seems that someone has been fishing too close to the nuclear power plant, Smithers. I believe that lady caught a fish with two mouths. Get Homer Simpson over here. She fished it out right next to the number one reactor. One of our Chernobyl fish. Yes, siree. Ah, the James Bond theme goes very nicely with that.
By the way, I just got that for my own edification. The new James Bond movie.
It's perfect.
That is just we can use that on. So, oh, by the way, Pony. I guess it showed that that my headphones they attempted to deliver. You just didn't pay attention. Isn't that true?
Sorry. Yes, it is. It is very true. You know, just yesterday we talked about people sticking to the things that they're good at. And that is something I'm not
doing. No pass.
What is he saying?
He's saying he's not good at shipping things. So he shouldn't be the one that ships things.
You're not good at shipping. The trained rabbit could ship things.
I'm not talking about shipping things. I'm talking about having
a follow-up order, responsibility. Yes. Please, responsibility. Get out of here,
Pony. Underneath you right now is a tank filled with sharks. In the event that I do not receive my headphones, and by the way, I didn't see any sticker on the door or anything like that, but I sure would like those brand new headphones. And I'd like you to follow up on that if it's humanly possible. Otherwise, the floor will open up and you will be dropped into the water filled with tiger sharks. Do you understand me?
Jesus. Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. Now, Oscar, I don't know if you're aware of this song that I'm going to play for you. I'm not, because I'm not young and hip, but it's called the Pineapple Pen Song. I have no idea whether you've heard it or not. Let's listen to the Pineapple Pen Song.
I have a pen. I have an apple. Apple pen.
Idiocracy.
I have a pen. I have pineapple. Pineapple pen. Apple pen. Pineapple pen. Pen pineapple. Apple pen.
Maddie, have you heard of it?
I haven't, but Mac knows every word, and he's singing along
this
in the control.
So Mac, all right, put Mac. Mac,
please,
what do you? Can Mac get on a microphone
here? He's good.
Mac, what do you know about this Pineapple Pen song?
I only know that it's made by a Japanese man. It's a great ass video, and I absolutely love it.
I have a very pen. Heavy.
Thank you, Mac.
I have an apple. apple pen. I have
of course,
pen.
Mac would love it.
We live, of course, we live in an idiocracy, do we not? This is
pineapple pen.
Pineapple pen.
Apple pen.
Sold a billion pen. Records.
Anytime I can make Mac happy on the show,
he's loving it.
Let me stop that and say, Pony.
Yes, sir.
I haven't forgotten about those headphones. You know, I made that request back before I left Maine. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Pony, I don't want to put any urgency on this, but If I do not receive those headphones sometimes next week, there's a gentleman that works for me that has a hat that's made out of razors. He's going to throw it at your head and it's going to chop off. That's Jesus the way that's going to go. Thank you. Oh, terribly sorry. Would you like, Oscar, on the audio vault, would you like to hear a dog imitate a siren?
Please, please.
All right. Very exciting.
Love this.
I like to think I'm keeping up the mantle of the stupid audio vault.
Get this, yeah.
This is a dog. Siren goes by, a dog imitates it.
I love this.
I have a pen.
No, no. The dog sound like a siren is a classic. I love that.
It's wonderful. Hey, Matt, are you there, Pony Boy?
Yes, I am.
I'd like to mention to you that I would really be interested in getting my headphones by the end of next week. And if it was Wednesday, it would
that would be fantastic.
It would be even better. Pony, in the event that I'm not able to get that those headphones, I'm going to put you on a on like a slab with a laser pointed right at your crotch. And and you could be in a lot of trouble.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bloom. I expect you to... I expect you to die.
Well,
all right. You know how I give Rob a hard time about playing the comedians every week, you know, where he does it? Well, you know, it's what they offer us. I decided to get them all.
Yeah.
I decided to get them all to end this week's Audio Vault. I would get a montage of some of the best ones of the week. I give you the late night comedians, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mike O'Bear Show. Take it away, boys.
The college admissions scandal trial is coming up. Lori Loughlin says she thought she was donating money for a library instead of bribing her kids to get into college. The library was going to be called the Lori Loughlin Wink Wink Library.
President Trump's former press secretary, Sean Spicer, has been cast in Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. Or as the show is now called, Dancing.
Dancing with people you've heard of.
Yeah.
Totino's has developed a trail mix that includes mini pizzas, mozzarella sticks, and garlic bread. What trail is this a mix for? A rugged path from your couch to your toilet?
There's been a winner declared in the war between Popeye's fried chicken sandwich and Chick-fil-A's fried chicken sandwich. Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is heart disease.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, nice. Oscar, great week with you. Really
great
enjoyed
week,
every
Mike.
Minute
back
of
at
it.
You. Thank you.
Hey, Monday, the entire gang Woo! All back together after a month. My God, it's going to be so incredibly special. And maybe next week I'll also get headphones. I'm so excited. Hey, over the weekend, buy our bonus show, buy our fruitcakes. We appreciate that. Thank you for your continuing support for all things TMOS. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Pony Boy Matthew Bloom, and Matty Masiello, this is Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MearaShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
I could pull a better cartoon out of my ass. Hey, whoa! Wasn't that great, kids?
Good night, our doctor.
Good night. Looker.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point, click, 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 it's real easy, man.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.